About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
So let's talk about the initiative that Steve Kearns and you and others are doing from a fundraising standpoint, because God has given HBU this dynamic vehicle of sports. Obviously, it's a huge mission tool.
Absolutely.
And it certainly fulfills the mission statement plus more. What are you guys working on? What's the need? Where are you trying to go?
Well, when we got into football, we knew what we needed to have, and that's what we built. We built what we needed to have. We needed to have about 5,000 seats. We needed to have a press box. We needed to have some locker rooms. So that's what we needed to have. But we're getting to the point now where to keep up with everybody else and to make advances on the field with everybody else, we're going to need to improve our facilities. And so I formed a committee back in the early spring, along with Coach Seeley, to look at what it would take, how much it would cost, and then where do we go to get the resources to do a little bit more with what that facility is out there. And we're currently, right now, in the phase of putting all the numbers together to make sure that we know exactly what it's going to cost us before we go out and start asking folks to help us out. Because the last thing I want to do is ask somebody to help us out, and then they do, and then we find out, oops, it's going to cost twice that. And so we're very carefully putting those numbers together right now. I can tell you that I have in my office now a rendering of a football stadium that goes exactly where our football stadium is right now. Simply adds on to what we have, that if you took a look at it, you would think that you were, you know, in some really nice mid-level college somewhere in this country. So we know how to get there. We're just trying to figure out what that cost is, to make sure we know what the numbers are. And then once we do have those numbers, then we're going to start visiting some folks about, can they help us out?
Are you at this point able to delineate just the highlights of what?
Sure. I mean, a couple of things we're looking at. We built the stadium out there so that we could brick it in. It's specifically built so that at some point we could come back and add the brick. That's certainly number one, or at least one of the top couple things on the list is adding that brick. Number two, when we built the stadium, we built the locker rooms and the weight room and the training rooms. Those were built with buildings that have a shelf life. And at some point that shelf life is going to run out. So we're going to have to add new locker rooms, training room, weight room, and we intend to do that down on the end of the stadium where the hill is right now. Hill will go away at that point, and there will be a building there that house all those functions. And I think the final thing is we'd like to, at some point, get the land back from the CVS, where the CVS sits, and add bleachers on the other side, add a second half of the stadium on the other side. Certainly 5,000 seats isn't bad to start with, but we'd really like to get up to around 8,000 total seats.
And so when do you feel like that your due diligence will be done and you'll be making kind of more of an official announcement?
We've set by the deadline at the end of the summer.
End of the summer.
And we're pretty close. We're at this point now the phase of working on the materials that we'll take out with us when we go.
You know, when I listened to Steve Kearns, and he went to Israel with us in March, so I got to know him. But when I listened to him at the board meeting, boy, I don't know how anybody could have spoke more passionately.
I wasn't there for that, but I understand that's the case, I certainly appreciated him for doing that.
It really was, Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
He's very passionate about football, has always been. He very much sees it as a vehicle, much the same way we do. Steve is a Nebraska alum.
Right.
And very passionate about Nebraska football, but I'd say second to Nebraska football is HBU football.
Oh, no question.
And so he's been a very ardent supporter, and we look to have him as our supporter a long time down the line from now.
And I can't help but think that there are Christians that obviously God's blessed with resources that realize that this is a strategic mission opportunity.
Yes.
I mean, it's an athletic opportunity, but it is a mission opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that's certainly the way we position it in everything we do. That's how we sell it to the young men we bring in the program, and that's how we're going to sell it to anybody who's willing to jump on board with us.
Right. So I've got a few questions. I want to just ask you, if you would. I mean, I've got the list here of the 17 sports.
Well, good, because I was afraid you were going to ask me to name them, and I didn't know if I could name them all without leaving one out and then making somebody upset. So glad you got that list.
Well, I thought I'd help you out.
Thanks.
Women's sports, basketball, beach volleyball, cross country, golf, soccer, track and field, and volleyball.
Correct.
And some of these I've met, coach staffs, tremendous people. Men's sports, baseball. Of course, we all remember that Southland Conference.
Yep, a couple years back.
That was awesome.
Absolutely.
Basketball, cross country, of course, football, golf, soccer, track and field. Did I miss any?
I don't think you did. You got to remember that track and field is both indoor and outdoor. So
right.
On both the men's and women's side, that's two separate sports.
So give us a little highlight of the coaching teams and the, you know.
That's all right. I think I can do that. I think I can do that part of it. So our newest head coach is Cam Sittler on the beach volleyball side, and our beach volleyball program has just taken off. We're only in our second year, and I believe we were 27th or 28th in the country this past year.
Wow.
And we hope to get better next year. So that's a sport that's an emerging sport within the NCAA, and we hope that as soon as they begin an NCAA championship, we should be in line to certainly participate in that. So that really, for us, that sport has taken off. Trent Herman is the women's volleyball coach, and Trent came over from Rice, did a very good job at Rice as an assistant coach over there, and has done a very good job for us here. Perennially, we're in the top three or four in the conference in that sport. Mm. Donna Finney is a women's basketball coach. Donna has the distinction of, first of all, she's Scottish, and so she, I believe, is the only non-American Division I women's basketball coach, I believe, and she also has the distinction of having coached a men's team in Scotland. So not only has she coached women, but she's coached men.
She's an amazing lady.
She is. And then, of course, Ron Cottrell on the men's basketball side. And Ron has been here for, I believe, he's in his 39th year.
Wow.
And is swiftly becoming the longest tenured Division I college coach in the country. I know.
And he looks so young.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. One of the guys who was ahead of him retired just a couple weeks ago. And so he actually moved up the list a little bit. So, I think before he's out of here, he'll have that title as being the longest run. And has done an excellent job.
Yeah.
Every time that we've raised the level of the program, because we've went from one division to another, or we went from one league to another, he's stepped up. This past year was a very tough year in that we lost a couple of individuals that we were counting on to be there. If we'd had those two individuals, we'd have won the conference undoubtedly. We didn't. And yet we were still a very, very competitive, very exciting team to watch. Got us to the conference tournament again, and I think we're going to be even better, and so I think the future is really bright in that sport. Mm-hmm. Mary Ellen Hall is an HBU graduate, has been here for a number of years as the softball coach, and does a fantastic job with those young ladies. They produce some of the finest scholars that we have coming out of our athletic department year in and year out. This past year, they got a lot more competitive on the field. They've taken a little while to step up to the competition in the Southland Conference. It's just really good in softball. But this past year, they began to make the move to catch up, and I think this next year we'll make another jump forward, expect to make the conference tournament this next year, and we'll see where we go from there. Coach Sheely, we've talked about a lot already, and just fine gentleman.
Superb man.
I don't think I could have, nor could the university have found a better person to start that football program than Coach Sheely.
And, forgive me for interrupting you, but the character of a coach also bleeds to the team.
It does. Yeah, as we discussed earlier, they take on the characteristics of the coach. And so, and not just with Coach Sheely, but that's the case with any number of our coaches. They're all of them very fine Christians and very much believe in the development of the individual athlete. And to them, it's important that we win and lose. It's always important that we win and lose, but it's not the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Going on down, the rest of the coaching staff, Coach Fuqua is our track coach. She's the coach for both the men's and the women's cross country, indoor and outdoor track. She actually has six sports. She probably has the biggest responsibility and biggest load of any of our coaches in that she coaches six different sports. And we do that without having a track on our campus, which, as you can imagine, is a distinct disadvantage when we're trying to recruit young men and women.
Sure.
However, this past year, we actually had one of our athletes, Denim Rogers, who is a decathlete athlete and finished the year number 7 in the country at the national meet.
Wow.
And was the number 4 American in the meet.
Cool.
So he has set himself up. They've done a wonderful job developing him, again, across 10 different disciplines, really. And they've now set him up to where he certainly is a contender for the Olympic team in a couple of years.
Wow, neat.
So, you know, obviously what would be just an unbelievable Christian. I mean, just strong message, does a lot of mission work on his own and with his family, and just a fine young man. Very interesting sidelight on that. The national meet was in Austin 3 weeks ago. And I went over for it, watched him compete on the first day. He had, in the decathlete, it's all about how you do, not necessarily against the others in the field, but also how you do against your former marks. And there's 10 events, obviously, in the decathlete, and he set 7 personal records in 2 days at the highest level meet he could possibly do it at.
Wow.
So just a remarkable athletic performance on his part and a remarkable young man. So Coach Fuqua does a great job of leading those programs. David Schuster, our golf coach for both our men and women, probably the most highly decorated coach we have. David, I believe, has won 8 or 9 conference championships now since he's been here. And certainly his women's golf program is without a doubt at the top of our league and is one of the better ones in the country. Men's golf program has won a couple championships also, and so he just does an outstanding job of leading those folks. And again, he's tasked with leading 2 programs, which is generally not what you would see. Ryan Pratt coaches our men's soccer program, took over our men's soccer program a couple years ago, and this past year athletically had a great season in that we were able to beat SMU on the soccer field for the first time in, I think, 20, 30 years.
Oh, cool.
So had a little bit of success this year. They were able to taste a little success this year. And so we think going into next year, that we're looking for them to do even greater things in the conference next year. Misty Jones leads the women's soccer program. Of course, the women's soccer program has won the conference championship 2 or 3 times, been to the NCAAs a number of times. And she just does a fantastic job with those young women. I think I've hit all the head coaches now, I believe. I think that covers all the sports.
So, I mean, coordinating all of that, I mean, how do you interface with your coaches and lead your leaders,
I guess? I think, first of all, my leadership philosophy is to try to empower, first of all, hire the right people.
Right, of course.
Then empower them to do their jobs, and then try to help them as much as possible do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
My mantra is that nobody in the athletic department works for me. We all work together. They work with me. And I think as long as everybody has that thought, that everybody's working with everybody else, it becomes much more of a team thing than if somebody's working for somebody.
Right.
And so we very much try to help each other out as much as possible. It's not a very big athletic department in terms of, you know, the big-time athletic departments. So we very much have to help each other out.
You know, it's interesting, though. It takes a unique DNA to launch something and get something going. It's a different DNA to manage something already built.
Right. Very true.
And, you know, there's a lot of maintenance people, but there are very few DNA leaders to build.
Very true.
And Doc Sloan came in with this gigantic vision, and God's used him and assembled around him just some people that are willing to say, we're going to get it done somehow, some way.
Exactly.
And you've been that kind of person.
Well, I will tell you coming in, Jerry, that I was not necessarily, that wasn't what I'd done in the past.
Right.
Certainly when I went to Rice, Rice had been there forever and has, you know, in terms of most people in the country, unlimited resources. Very much a manager. But God blessed me to bring me out here, very much blessed me to bring me out here, and gave me a chance to build something. And I will be forever grateful for the chance to have done that. You know, a lot of times it's like, I don't know how this is going to work.
Right.
You know, let's pray about it. Let's see what happens. And sometimes, you know, now God doesn't answer every prayer in the way you think he should answer it.
Right.
So sometimes it didn't happen on the time frame that we wanted it to happen. But we've been very fortunate that everything we've done has moved us forward. And I think everything we've done has been in his name. And I think everything we've done has been to the betterment of the young people who've been in our program.
You know, when I was watching Nick walk over New York City on the wire last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a Christian. His family's
absolutely
a Christian.
Very much so.
You know, I liked what he said. I've always liked the idea of take a step, you know. Don't be afraid to move forward. And your dreams can take you places.
Right.
And you certainly have done that here. And you've had both the challenges. It tests your faith, but it's very rewarding, isn't it? And it's memorable like
absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, I will forever be grateful, as I said, be grateful for the opportunity to do what I've been able to do here. And certainly wasn't me doing it. It was all the folks that have been involved, everybody from Dr. Sloan all the way through the maintenance folks here, the Aramark folks here, the professors more than anybody else probably have helped. But it takes a team. You can't do it alone. It takes a team.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you got to have that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as much as anything, my thing has been, okay, here's our vision. Let's see how we get that next step toward where we want to be in that vision.
Absolutely.
And as much as anything, that's really all I've done is said, what do we need to do to take the next step?
Yeah, I want to just focus on two things before we wrap. One was you made a statement a minute ago that I thought is very unique. 85% of athletes graduate.
Here.
Yeah. Is that high?
That is high. That is high.
And so how does that work?
Well, I think it works because, number one, we're a small private institution where we know the individual. There's the old saying, you're not just a number, you're a name.
Right.
Well, when you're on a small campus, you really are not a number, you're a name.
Right.
And that's not a testament necessarily to the athletic department. That's a testament, again, to our professors and a testament to our academic support folks that are on this campus. One of the things that we sell very hard to all of our recruits is just exactly that. If you come here, very, very good likelihood, if you just stay with us, you're going to get your degree. And again, it's because of the emphasis that we put on the professors being as open as they are to dealing with students on this campus, and again, and the academic support folks that we have that help these young people get through.
You know, Steve, if I've heard that once, I've heard it so many times in the 130 podcasts I've done here, where a student has said, my teacher cares about me.
Absolutely.
You know, I've had kids actually sit right there and say, I was going to go to a state school. I came to HBU, and I am so glad I did, because they use the word family
absolutely.
To describe HBU.
Yes.
You don't atypically use the word family to describe a Division I university.
Yeah, no, that's true. But that's very much the atmosphere that I think the whole campus, I think that permeates the whole campus.
I really do.
I think it permeates the whole campus. If you go out and walk across the campus, and I don't care whether you're a student here or a faculty member here or you work in the administration here or wherever you do, chances are 90% of the people you walk across the campus you run into, you're going to know them. I mean, whether they're the students, the faculty, whoever it is, you're going to know who they are. And you're going to probably know a little bit about them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's not the case on some of the larger institutions. It just can't be because of the numbers, but here it is. And when you know folks, you care about them. And I think that's the biggest thing that we have going for
well,
us.
And that Christian undergirding, you know, is something that is so incredible because, you know, Lifeway's multi-year study pointed out that 70 to 88% of the kids raised in church that go to the typical university never go back to church again.
Yeah.
I was filming with the humanist chaplain at Harvard University, at Harvard in Cambridge, and he's been there 15 years. He's the humanist chaplain at MIT, and he told me that the Harvard Crimson students self-identified as atheist or agnostic 40% of the campus. And I just sat there for a moment and I thought, now, okay, people will literally kill themselves to go to Harvard, parents.
You're right.
And particularly Asian parents.
Right.
They'll do anything to get their child to Harvard. And what a if that stat is true, it's the Crimson, what a sad place
Absolutely.
To be. And,
Absolutely.
You know, and I think conversely of how, what I love about HBU is this, there's a lot of Christian universities that they're big on blow. They talk all about how Christian they are and slam it down everybody's throat. And then when you really get in close, it's not really that Christian.
Right.
What I love about HBU is that it's distinctly Christian, but it's very friendly, and it doesn't
force We try to sneak up on you.
Absolutely.
We try to sneak up on you.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that I tell my staff is, you know, we don't want to force feed the Christianity
Exactly.
to those kids who we bring in who are not Christians initially, because it's not going to work. They'll rebel. They'll absolutely rebel. We have to, David Moss, who works in our department, has a saying that he says, love them, and love them until they ask why.
That's great.
And so that's what great. We tried to, that's the message that we try to impart to all of our coaching staff, certainly is to love these kids. And then when they ask you why, then tell them, let them know. Let them know what it's all about. Let them know where you come from, and let them know what you stand for. And at that point, they'll be willing to buy in. They'll be willing to begin to buy in.
Well, boy, that what a great statement. You know, when you look at China today, Xi Jinping has got this religion espionage act, and everybody knows he's cracking down on the church. But really, that goes back to the Cultural Revolution, Mao Zedong, who was exposed to Christian missionaries. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were rigid, unloving missionaries who didn't show him love.
Right.
And the rest is history. I mean, the multiple millions. Thank God for that. Let me also just, before we close, ask you, the world has changed in so many ways. We're talking now about the iGen generation. It's a whole different generation. It's like 80 million plus, born from, you know, 2005 to 2012. Absolutely born with an iPhone, almost glued in their hand. The report the other day was kids are actually developing an abnormality on their neck because they're looking down all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, which of us haven't been in an airport gate? People don't talk anymore. They just stare at their phones.
Yeah, and run into you.
Yeah, right. And... you know, I was just thinking, what have you noticed are the differences with athletes from a spiritual,
well,
mental health, whatever?
Yeah, that's the difference. That right there is the difference. You just mentioned it, the mental health aspect. We are dealing way more often now in the last 4 or 5 years with mental health issues than we ever dealt with throughout my 30 plus, at this point, 39 years of administration in athletics. And I don't know necessarily what to attribute that to, but I do think some of it has to do with the isolation that some of the young people today self-impose upon themselves because of having that phone in their hand. They think they're interacting with society when they're on social media and doing whatever they're doing, but they're not really interacting with society.
Mm-hmm.
And
developing the skills to.
Well, certainly not developing the skills to interact with society. And so I think for whatever reason, that seems to be lending itself to much more mental health issues than we've ever seen in the past. And certainly I'm hugely supportive of the new school and the new initiative that we're taking here, because if for no other reason, I think it'll help some of our student athletes as we get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And conversely, some of our students. I mean, because it's not anything that we see in the student athletes is just a bell cow for what's going on in the students themselves. And so when we see it in the student athletes, we know it's happening with our general student population too.
And all the more so for the Christian component, the active Christian, the love component?
Again, absolutely. We've got to break down some barriers that maybe we didn't have to break down in the past to begin loving them. Again, a lot of times they're going to wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you taking this interest in me? Why do you love me like this? Why are you so interested in my life? Nobody's ever been interested in my life like that. Nobody's ever laid themselves out to me. Nobody's ever explained Christianity to me, as a matter of fact. And yet here you are, my coach or my leader or my mentor or my teammate, and you love me. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step. When they ask why, then you can begin telling them about God's love.
No question. You know, Gene Twenge at San Diego State University has written a fabulous book called iGen Generation, and she's pointed it all out, that not only is there depression, suicidal ideation, social isolation, social inhibition. You know, Steve, when I was a kid, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I had four brothers. We played football.
Sure.
In our family room.
Yeah.
After my parents left, we moved all the furniture out and played tackle football, the whole bit. I mean, if we wanted to buy booze, buy cigarettes, or get an inappropriate literature, we had to get an older guy to go down to 7-Eleven and buy it for us.
Right.
And that was the big trick, was how are we going to find somebody to get cigarettes, you know?
Yeah.
And if you would have handed me a phone as a teenager, and I was a pot-smoking, let's-get-high freak, and gave me a phone that had the internet, that gave me exposure to every kind of filth in the world and everything else, I don't know what it would have done to me.
Yeah, who's to say, but it wouldn't have been good.
And so, I mean, this is a challenging situation. My kids now have kids. They have to monitor me even talking about news events. I forget what it's like to have kids. Mm-hmm. I'm a news hound. They said, Dad, no, we can't talk about that right now. Because one of them's ears. So thank God for the spiritual, responsible, custodial care that HBU, that you and your faculty and leadership coaching team have on these young lives.
Yes, you know, and Jerry, I think it's interesting in that because they're athletes, we have a little bit more sway over them.
Sure.
Than maybe some others would with the general student population. And so we have a better opportunity to reach these young people through athletics initially because of what they want to do than maybe the general student population might. And so, you know, while I can cite all these kind of statistics about how many people we graduate, how many people we bring to the Lord, but part of it is the fact that we have a platform that some others might not have. And so we just have to use that platform responsibly and for the Lord as much as possible.
No question. And that's exactly why we need to financially support this initiative at HBU Athletics. And the vision will be revealed in a few months. And guess what? Once it's revealed, it's going to take men and women who realize that the greatest thing we can ever do is to give to change lives. Cars, yachts, homes, all rust out. But giving for eternity is one of the highest, most noble things we can do. I came to Christ at a summer youth camp that was a businessmen's retreat in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri. And a bunch of businessmen owned it.
Sure.
They decided one day, they said, you know, we've made so much money, why don't we just give this retreat to the Missouri Baptist Convention? And the guys took a little vote. They said, let's just give it. Thousands of lives got changed because they gave. And so you can see in your mind today that future football stadium, all the facilities. it's so natural that we'd want to give. We'd want to give sacrificially. I want you to check out the vision, HBUHuskies.com, HBUHuskies.com. The September 2019 issue of the Pillars magazine is going to show you in depth the incredible athletic program. And thank you, Steve, for your leadership here. What a gift you've been to HBU.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time and look forward to continue to tell the story.
Thank you, sir.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.